Welcome back, everyone. Hi, you guys. It's Lane again. This is Coming Home. Another fantastic episode is coming at you. And I just want to take a moment to reflect on how lucky we are that we have this thing called the internet. As much as I love hate it, I love it today because I'm able to connect with somebody in one of my favorite places, Australia, on the other side of the planet. I get to talk to her. And if you could just take a moment and think about how wonderful this tool is, where we can make connections all over the world. So I'm super grateful, and that's how I'm opening up the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Today, I have Joanne Jacket, and she is, again, from Melbourne, Australia. And she's going to share a little bit about her experience with Yoga Nidra, and she's coming to us with 30 plus years of experience sharing this delightful, loving practice. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lane. Beautiful to be here.
When I read your bio, I was like, oh my God, this is like, she knows everything. You've seen it all. But I want to just have you start off and share with the audience, my listeners, and other people who are tuning in, a little bit about where you come from and how you discovered the practice of Yoga Nidra.
Okay, well, it's a bit of a story, I guess. I came to yoga initially because I was in the travel industry and in sales, actually, and I was sitting opposite a colleague from another company, and she was much older than I was at the time, and she said to me, Joanne, you really should do yoga. You have a permanent frown on your face. And I went, oh. And she said, okay, I'm going to ring up the Gita school and find out when the next class starts. And she did that, and I followed up with that. And from the day I started that beginner's class, I honestly have never looked back. Mm-hmm. The beautiful instruction from this Hungarian teacher that I had at the time, she just touched me in a way that has affected me to this day. Mm-hmm. And of course, it grew and grew and grew, and I was hooked, so to speak. And Yoga Nidra came about through the principal of that school, Margaret Segesman. Only she called it progressive yoga relaxation. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly the same approach and the same process. And this is something that I sometimes share, but I suppose I'm sharing it rather globally now.
Yeah.
But, I used to have panic attacks before they were called panic attacks. And one day as I was working at the school, this happened, and I said to Margaret, look at me. And she said to me, oh, is it your ovaries? I said, no, it's my nerves. So anyway, she took me aside and we spoke, and she was just so beautiful to me, so kind and loving, and so approving and validating of who I was and everything. And she said, now every day, mm-hmm. you have to practice this relaxation every single day. Mm-hmm. I did. Now, that was in 1978, I'd say. Wow. And from that day to this, mm-hmm. I never had another panic attack.
Okay. You know what, Joanne? I'm just going to, right there. It's like music to my ears when I hear these kinds of stories.
Mm.
Because this practice is so transformative. I came to the practice through total anxiety and depression, more depression. Mm. And I haven't had a day of depression since I started. You know, it's been over 3 years.
Yeah.
So I completely identify with like having it, the symptoms wipe away or wash away from having a daily practice.
That's now, right. Mm.
I want to get back to something you said about the frown on your face.
Mm-hmm. I hope I haven't got it today.
You don't have it today because you practice yoga. Mm. But what I was hearing was that there's so many people who are dissatisfied with life.
Yep.
And sad. And they have that frown upon their face. Mm. And so many people find yoga. They find the Eightfold Path. They find the mat, right? And that mat transforms their lives. So I want to hear how, like, you're no longer a travel agent. Like, in how many ways has that moment of your, you know, friend saying you have a frown on your face, how many things have changed as a result of you putting yourself on the mat?
Well, I'd say everything, but it's gradual. It really is gradual. And of course it wasn't just all of a sudden everything changed, because it has layers. And I knew that I was on the right path for sure, but it didn't immediately stop. It did stop the panic attacks, I know that, but it didn't stop challenges happening in life and stress and anxieties and tension. But it was leveling out. And the key to it is that you manage these things in your life. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know anyone that would really be able to say that they have no stress in their life. It's out there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so I think, again, the key is that you know how to deal with it. You have the tools. Mm-hmm. Yoga Nidra, of course, is one of those tools. Mm-hmm. And Yoga Nidra is a prerequisite, I would absolutely say, to meditation.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And as Swami Satchinanda says at the end of one of his little verses, it is of a blissful higher quality altogether, and Yoga Nidra is the doorway to samadhi.
Yeah. So I want you to read that little passage that you brought on before the show. And
okay.
It's so represents, and it's such a beautiful passage. Why don't you share that with us now?
Okay. So it is a three-verse poem by Swami Satchinanda, and it calls it the blissful relaxation. Mm-hmm. Most people sleep without resolving their tensions. This is termed nidra. Nidra means sleep, no matter what or why. But yoga nidra means sleep after throwing off the burdens. It is of a blissful, higher quality altogether. That's just the first verse. Well, so
it's so blissful.
I know. And it's really good to know a little bit about the origin of Yoga Nidra, because it is a tantric practice, as is yoga and meditation. Mm-hmm. It's so ancient that it's not really known a lot about by most people, except those that really go into the study of it. But Satchinanda highlights this in saying that he actually he sort of converted some of the ancient rituals, the mantras, the systematic rotation through the body. That all comes from the tantric system. And he converted that so that it would be easy for Westerners and ordinary everyday people to be able to enjoy that transformation, because that's mm-hmm. it was in the tantric time a transformative thing. The seer would touch various parts of the body with the mantra. Mm-hmm. And there would be transformation. There would be consecration, as he says. Mm-hmm. And so, now we're lucky enough to have Yoga Nidra in a form that we can actually understand according to our culture and right. our lifestyle. So yay for Yoga Nidra.
Yeah, I love what you're talking about. It's really kind of intense going back to that time and how it's changed over the years. But I find with Yoga Nidra, it stayed traditional. It stayed true to itself.
Yeah, I think there are people that have sort of varied it, but I think that's because they're not quite across where it actually came from and the original intention and the scientific approach to it, because it's very scientific. And it does help enormously. Well, do you know the fourth or the fifth rung on the Eightfold Path? There's Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, then Pratyahara. And that Pratyahara is the withdrawing of the senses, our sense connection and being identified with the outer world and the pull of the senses in the outer world. So in Yoga Nidra, we're actually withdrawing internally too. And that's so necessary for you for meditation. That's what Yogananda teaches.
So necessary. I'm just thinking about that. The withdrawing part. Right? For you. You lie down and you practice. What stage do you withdraw in? Do you feel it happen the most?
The process is first relaxing the body, and then when you start to, you do your Sankalpa, and that's very important to give this intention to the subconscious mind, and then the rotation of awareness. And I think it's that rotation of awareness that actually withdraws you, because you're gently touching on each of those body parts. And if you prepare first with relaxation, it works. It just works.
I it's so funny that the rotation, I am gone. you know, like right elbow and I'm bye.
Like, but do you go to sleep?
No.
No, no, because it's not conscious sleep. It's well, it's sleep with
it's
your
sleep
conscious.
With consciousness, right? Yes, so I am some other place completely. Yeah. Like this morning I was doing it and, you know, it's what my teacher said, what was it? Left hip. And my dog, I have a puppy. She starts pawing at me and I'm fully aware of that, but I'm still in. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move, you know, cause I'm in so deep. And then she was gone. I don't even know what happened. I don't know if she kept pawing or what,
because she got the message.
She got the message. Exactly. And then all of a sudden it was the end of the session and Hari Om Tat Sat, right? Like, okay, we're all good now. When you're in your practice, you typically do a 45 minute, how long are your
Yeah, I'd say to do a full Yoga Nidra, it's at least 45 minutes, yeah.
I know, I love the longer practices. The shorter practices, I always want more.
Yeah, but even when I'm teaching Yoga Nidra, it's still with me. I can still feel it, because you have to feel it to teach it.
Yeah,
I have to say, my original teacher Margaret Segesman said, "Don't ever teach anything that you haven't experienced yourself." This is the way to be sincere, you know. You can't just read the book and then start teaching yoga nidra, you have to do the practice before.
You know. You have to know the practice.
You do, yeah.
I cannot agree with you more. There is something about going through and having the profound change, right? For you, you had no more panic attacks, right? And I'm sure over the years, you've had other experiences, and those experiences move through the practice, right?
Well, I've had a lot of stress and tension in my life, but it's because of those practices that have been embedded really within. Yeah. If you do it, it does take effort. It's not an effort that you dislike by any means, but it does really require the discipline and the willpower to do these practices. And if you do, then the benefits come about, and you just can't not do it. You know, can't not do it. Like any practice, you know that it's just the best thing that you can do. It's the best way of nurturing and honoring yourself at soul level. It's soul level that it's soul going. Level.
That's exactly what it is. It is so level. So for the ladies who are listening, and some men,
let's include some men.
Yeah, like let's right. There's some guys that listen to my podcast. How do we cultivate this discipline that is required? Right. How do we do that?
Okay, well, it may come out of sheer necessity, as it did with me.
And me too.
Yeah. And then it's a matter of doing it. And you will feel sometimes, no, I don't feel like doing it. But I'm not just talking about yoga nidra, but any sort of practice, your daily meditation. Sometimes you might feel, I'll just give it a miss today. But you know, eventually when you just have to gather yourself and say, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to do it because I know I'm going to feel better afterwards. I know that it's going to benefit me on all levels. And that builds within you. And you might take 3 steps forward and 2 back at times, but as long as you're taking 3 forward and 2 back, 3 forward and 2 back, you know, we're human beings after all. And we are flawed. We are flawed in so many ways. But when we have that relationship with God, or if you like, with the divine, with the higher self, something is different, and you know you're not alone, and you know that you are supported. You are so supported that you can go on no matter what.
I love all of that. And what I'm hearing is that it's like the famous Nike saying, just do it, right?
Yes, that's right.
Right, in order to have this discipline, it's like you just have to do it. You just have to create it. You have to just put it in your book every day and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit to this for 30 days. I'm going to commit for this, 7 days. And then after that 7 days, I'm going to do it again for another 7 days. And I like that you talked about the necessity, because for me, it was out of necessity too. I was at a place of like, I'm going to pull the cord here, or something has to change. And I did it like 1 day at a time. I was like, I'll just try it 1 day. And then the next day, and then there was this falling in love with the practice.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And this trusting, this feeling so supported. I had never felt that before. I had never experienced that before, and I didn't know it was possible. And that's one of the gifts of yoga nidra.
It is. But it's not, we have to go even past the practice of yoga nidra, because it's where the practice takes us that is the support. It takes us to our soul.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about.
Okay, let's get into that, Joanne. Let's now we're going there. So we got to get past this practice and we got to reach up into the cosmic sphere.
Yeah, but not past the physical practice. You have to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's not the practice that's actually transforming you. It's where the practice takes you and how it nurtures your soul. And then you are then able to radiate the qualities of the soul, which is peace, it's calm, it's well-being on all levels.
Yeah. Okay. If you haven't tried the practice, I want you to make sure that you jump on over to lanekennedy.com/new friend and grab the app and start practicing. If you do practice, I want to just encourage you to keep practicing, because what Joanne just talked about, that nurturing of the soul, is everything. And
it is, yes.
Right? I mean, you're in Australia, you guys have had some epic issues over there. I'm in the United States and there's epic issues here, right? We are living in a challenging time, to say the least.
We are, the world globally.
Globally, like we are having some crisis. And so what can you share about this practice in regards to the world? Like, how is it helping? Are you, how many classes are you touching? How many lives? How many, like, what are you doing?
Well, I'm just trying to be the peace that you want to see in the world. That's Gandhi's quote, you know, be the peace that you want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. It starts from us. It starts from us as individuals. If we take care of ourselves and find that peace within, the only hope is that it will ripple out. It's not just a hope, it's a reality that it will ripple out. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to change the world. You know, Yogananda says this, it's there's always going to be war, there's always going to be conflict, because that, you know, we're all at different levels of evolvement and spiritual development.
You had said it, we're human.
Yeah.
We're flawed. And as long as we're human, we're going to have this internal conflict, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're not reaching enlightenment here. Like, this is like, we're stuck here on this plane doing this stuff.
Yeah, but this is the plane on which we can.
Right. This is where we get to play it all out. Right. This is where we get to practice. Mm. Oh, yes. So good. You practice every day since 1978.
Oh, look, I don't practice yoga nidra every day. I certainly meditate every day. Mm-hmm. And I have that, I know how important it is to relax and to feel that relaxation at a conscious, deep level. Mm-hmm. And that is what evolves out of a lot of yoga nidra practices. I would say, you know, do it once a week, do it once a month. I do a yoga nidra practice for my students once a month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and one of the ladies that comes, she's an author, and she said, I've written whole chapters in yoga nidra. And so it's not that she's sort of not doing the practice. It's just that her mind becomes so clear that the inspiration and the clarity for what she wants to put out comes. So, you know, it's going to help people in different ways. And it can as we've said, it's transformative, and we just have to keep on keeping on, because we're not vulnerable beings, because we're ultimately very strong, but we're subjected to so much negativity in our life and in the world. So we have to have some tools and so forth, and some commitment and discipline to combat that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. We are just bombarded with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are on the other side of the planet, mm-hmm. and you have your ladies and your students, and what other magical experiences do you create over there? Do you have retreats?
Yeah, I do. I do. Well, in the past I have taken retreats to Bali, but that I don't do that anymore. I now do twice yearly weekend meditation retreats at nice. Some at lovely venues. My next one's at a convent.
Wow.
Where there are nuns working there, but they take in people like us, groups like us, and it's blissful. They have I'm also a labyrinth lover.
Okay, let's talk about that. We have a labyrinth here in San Francisco.
Grace Cathedral.
Yes, and I go and walk it as often as I
can.
Oh,
yes,
Lane. And we recently had a sound bath on.
Oh.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Labyrinths are mystical.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful. How did you get into that?
Well, strangely enough, I heard there was a radio show here called The Spirit of Things with Rachel Kohn, and she had the head lady. What's her name? Do you know who it is? She's the priest whatever. And she was there talking about it and saying, you know, how wonderful it is, and she was all for it. And then we had this woman in Australia who constructed one in Sydney in the Central Park there. And so I just thought, oh, right, I'm curious about this. Mm-hmm. And I pursued it here, mm-hmm. of course, read up a lot about it. And there's even a labyrinth society, you know.
I didn't
there
know.
There is a worldwide labyrinth society. You just Google it. Yeah. Anyway, I sort of traveled around in my nearish by, a little bit further than where I am, and found this wonderful labyrinth in a Jesuit place that also I used to take retreats there as well. So the connection and the relationship with the labyrinth just grew and grew and grew. And I mean, I've written a little book called Peaceful Living with Prayer and Meditation. Mm-hmm. And those prayers mm-hmm. mostly came to me from walking the labyrinth, just in meditation afterwards. I'd walk the labyrinth, mm-hmm. I would sit and meditate, write, mm-hmm. And then walk again and do the same thing. That was my little process. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, they just come, and you're just so at one with the presence of God and grace, and it's just beautiful.
So
beautiful. I recommend the labyrinth to anyone. Just, you know, there's no rules around the labyrinth.
Right.
It's you can, but there are suggestions of how to walk it and how to pray on the labyrinth. So yeah,
they're so beautiful.
I'd love to come to the Grace Cathedral.
Yeah, it's small. But it's perfect. Yeah, it's small but perfect. And you bring up the labyrinth, but it makes me, I start thinking about just walking meditation.
Yeah.
And how powerful that practice can be.
Mm-hmm.
And how people are so plugged into being inside these days. And there's a whole world of Zen outside waiting for us.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, leaving the phone and your device and just walking mindfully in the elements can create just peace, right? Because we're all looking for peace. We all want to get rid of the anxiety and the depression and the panic attacks and sleeplessness. And that was my train of thought as you were talking about the labyrinth to the walking meditation, how important it is just to disconnect, to reconnect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you do still have to be quite patient when you're a beginner with the labyrinth. Uh-huh. It may just happen, uh-huh. but sometimes it takes a little while to just feel the energy. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm literally held.
Wow.
When I'm on the labyrinth.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to have to walk it again.
Yeah. I don't want to sensationalize it because that gets you, you know, into the ego sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But if you can just leave the ego at the entrance of the labyrinth and just surrender to it, really, in a way. And, you get so much back from it.
Mm. So if you're listening, here's the next thing I want you to do is Google your nearest labyrinth, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be one near you somewhere. And I, especially here in San Francisco, Grace Cathedral, I'm going to be doing this. This is going to be my homework this week, is to go walk the labyrinth and feel held again.
Yeah.
I know that is such a delight. It's just delicious.
Yeah, it is.
That's what we're looking for. Joanne, it has been such an honor to speak with you and to get to know you and to hear your journey about yoga nidra and just your practice. You're just a pioneer in this world. And I just appreciate you coming on the show. Where are people going to find you? Where should they hang out with you?
Well, I am on Inside Timer.
Oh yes. I forgot.
Yeah. Oh my God, I have yoga nidra. I've got 3 yoga nidra practices on that, and I've got other sleep meditations. Mm-hmm. And so just go to Inside Timer and search Joanne Jacket and you'll find me. My website is on, you can also find that on Inside Timer, Joanne at Shraddha Yoga. Oh, well, the website's shraddhayoga.com.au. Shraddha meaning faith, of course, so that embraces a lot. Mm-hmm. And just get in touch. I'm happy to talk to anyone or reply to anyone.
Okay, you guys, I'm going to plug the Insight Timer. You know, I'm always talking about that. It's like my second home. I love that. It's like the yumminess is over there. And I mean, you're hearing Joanne now, so you know what she's going to sound like when you listen to that yoga nidra. So good.
Thank you, Lane. Well, I have to say I feel very honored to be here with you. It's an exciting thing to do with someone all the way from San Francisco getting in touch. I'm blown away.
Thank you.
So thank you, Lane.
All right, you guys, that is another episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, make sure to go check out Joanne. If you haven't gotten the practice yet, if you haven't gotten the app, make sure to go to lanekennedy.com/newfriend, grab the free Yoga Nidra app and start practicing. May you find something light, something bright, and something so delicious that lights you up so you may be the best you can be. Until next time, my friend. Take good care. Thanks for listening. Make sure you grab that free app over at lanekennedy.com/newfriend and start the quiet meditation. Okay, thanks.